we've been talking about the armor of God and how we need to put on the full armor of God. Not just bits and pieces, but the full armor of God. I want to read our passage, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 16. I don't think I put this on the screen. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 16. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. That's the second time he said this in this passage. Put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Shield of faith. A shield of faith. We lift up the shield of faith. And you may be asking, well, what do you, what, describe that to me. Tell me what that looks like. Tell me what a shield of faith looks like. What is faith? Faith, we may know that from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, gives us sort of a definition. I want to read to you a couple definitions of faith, and that some are just kind of popular definitions and some are more biblical. According to a modern dictionary, faith is unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. As regards to faith found in the Bible, this is simply not true, because faith must have adequate evidence, else it's mere superstition. Do you hear that? Faith must have evidence, else it's just mere superstition. Many Bible students will give Hebrews 11:1 as the definition for faith and leave it at that, which Hebrews 11:1 states, now faith is a substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. However, even though this is the form of definitions that we're given, this verse is really more of an expression of the power and the importance of that faith. In fact, one already needs to know what faith is before this verse will make much sense. This makes this verse a very frustrating answer to someone who's trying to get a handle on the foundational meaning of faith. Now, I guess if you want a real short definition of what faith is, it could be this: taking God at His word. You've heard that, you know, God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. How many of y'all heard that? God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And then you may have heard me tell you before that that's wrong, because God said it, that settles it whether I believe it or not. Right? God said it, I believe it. That's what faith is. I believe it because God said it. God put it forth in form of this book, this book that was written, inspired by His Holy Spirit, His Word to us. We call this the Word of God, because I believe it is the Word of God, God's very Word to me, and I believe it. I read it, I believe it, and that's where faith comes in, when I take God at His Word. Faith accepts God's Word, which are His promises, also His warnings, as fact, and then I act accordingly, right? I act accordingly. I take Him at His Word, and then I put it into action. This passage in verse 16, it says, in addition to this, we talked about the belt of truth, right? We must be standing in the truth. The truth doesn't do me a whole lot of good if I just display it somewhere in my house. And I even put it in this belt of truth, I put it in a nice shadow box and put lights on it. And I hang it on my wall and say, I have truth. There it is. But if I'm not standing inside of the truth, if I don't have the truth wrapped around me and I am inside the truth, that doesn't do me a whole lot of good. It's just a decoration piece. The same thing with the breastplate of righteousness. If I'm not wrapped in the righteousness of God, if I know what righteousness is and I display it somewhere, boy, I have righteousness. But I'm not wrapped in the righteousness of God, that righteousness is not doing me any good. The same way with the gospel shoes. Feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I must be at peace with God. If you are not living your life for Christ, if you've not given your life to Him and accept His salvation, then you are not at peace with God. The Bible tells me that you are an enemy of God. You've got to be at peace with God. There's one way to have peace with God, and that is through Jesus Christ, His Son. His Word tells me that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. By faith, I receive that. By faith, I accept that. By faith, I take action on that. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. He says in this verse, 16, in addition to all of this, in addition to all those things we've already listed, in addition to all this, your version says, does anybody have a version that says above all? Anybody's version? Okay. Is it the King James? It says, above all, take up the shield of faith. What do you think that means when he says above all? Other things are really important and good, and we need all of those things. But above all, don't you forget to take up the shield of faith. Above all, maybe covering all. With all that you've already done, now above all of that stuff, covering all that stuff, use the shield of faith. Above all, it's priority. It's top. We need to make sure we get that. It's important. We often underestimate the flaming arrows of the old devil, though. Don't we? We often laugh off his attacks. Sometimes we even say stuff like, oh, we know we've done wrong, and we'll just laugh it off and go, oh, the devil made me do it. Anybody ever heard that before? I'm not going to ask you if you've ever said it. Because the truth is, I've said it. And I'll pray that I'll never say it again. But the devil didn't make you do anything. Let me say it again. The devil doesn't make you do anything. It's a choice. It's always a choice. An accurate statement would say, I failed. I sinned. Call it for what it is. Call it for what God sees it. God calls it sin. I call it sin in my life. Nobody made me do it. It was a choice that I did. Getting worked up over here. God has given you faith. God has given us faith. It's a gift from Him, the faith. We have to take it. Lift it up. Protect ourselves. Cover. Lift it up. We have to lift it up. Any arrows that strike the shield while it's propped up on a shelf, right? If I have my shield of faith and I've got it on a shelf or I've got it displayed over here, and if I'm standing over here outside of my faith, any arrows that hit that shield, guess what? They would have done me no harm anyway. What good does my faith do me when it's over there? Lift it up. Lift it up. In the meantime, if I'm standing over here and my faith is over there, I am vulnerable. I'm exposed. I've got armor, yes, but the overall, overall covering of faith I don't have, and so I'm vulnerable. I'm susceptible. We have to strap it on and lift it up. The shield. Back in the times this passage was written, would have been a very different sizes, depending on if you were, what locality you were, or maybe even what status of a soldier you were. But the shield would have been some sort of a hard surface. It would have had a strap on the back and a handle so you could hold it and use it like this. It would have been either made of wood or possibly even some iron. But it would have been covered. Most of them would have been covered with leather, a layer of leather, two layers of leather, maybe even three layers of leather. And as I studied this, it was became very interesting to me. Before battle, soldiers, they would actually take their shields. You know what they'd do with them? They'd soak them. They'd dip it in the water. Why would they dip their leather shields in water? What happens to leather when it gets wet, and it's wet? Not before it dries, but when it's wet, what happens to it? It becomes pliable. They would soak their shields in this water, actually making them stronger, less brittle, more flexible, able to extinguish flaming arrows. You hear me? They would apply this. They would anoint. They would anoint their shields. They would anoint their shields to make them stronger, to make them more effective. What are you soaking your faith in? What are you anointing your faith with? What are you anointing your shield of faith with today? I think there are many things that we can anoint our shield of faith with. I want to talk about three specific ones today. One is the Word of God. The Word of God. You can anoint your shield of faith, anoint your faith with the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. Reading the Word of God increases my faith. It anoints my shield of faith, making it stronger, making it more pliable, making it able to extinguish the flaming arrows. Reading the Scripture, it will strengthen your faith. Like anointing the hard, brittle leather, it will bring it to life and make it more pliable, effective against the flaming arrows. I think another thing is definitely what we've done here this very morning is prayer. Prayer. The anointing of your faith with prayer makes it stronger. Even Jesus had to find times when he just got away. If the Son of the living God needed it, how much more do you and I? Think about this. Jesus Christ said, I've got to get away. He would rise early in the morning before anybody else was up, and he would find a solitary place. And he would go and he would pray and spend time in prayer. The Son of God, if he needed to do that, how much more do you and I? He was sinless. You and I are sinful. He was without sin. You and I are full of sin. If he needed to pray, how much more do you and I need to pray? I think the third thing that I'm going to speak of this morning, and it's certainly not an exhaustive list, but another thing that we use to anoint our shield of faith to help create a strong barrier, a pliable, an extinguishing force, is our testimony. Anoint your faith with your testimony. Hearing stories of how God has proven himself increases our faith. Telling stories does even more so. When you hear somebody's story of how God has come through, how God has delivered, how God has healed, how God has done the great things in somebody's life, that's inspiring. But when you can tell a story, let me tell you what God has done in my life. I was like this, and now I'm like this. I was headed for this, and now I'm headed for this. There's power in that. It increases your faith. That's the anointing of your faith, that covering that makes your faith more pliable. Some of us don't share our testimony. We must exercise these three disciplines and others in order to prepare our faith for attacks. The attacks are coming. Some of us still don't get that. The attacks are coming. The old devil does nothing without first thinking of how to tear you down, how to bring you down, how to slip you up, how to trip you up, how to make you believe something is true when it's not. He's the father of lies. When he speaks his native tongue, the Scripture tells me. That is a lie. He speaks in lies. That's all he knows how to do, to trick you up, to trip you up. And guess what? He'll even use Scripture to try to do it sometimes. He tried it with Jesus Christ himself. We all have muscles, right? Some of us have more muscles, bigger muscles than others. Some of us have bigger biceps than others. Some of us have bigger deltoid muscles than others. Some of us have bigger thigh muscles. Some of us have bigger table muscles. And some of us have bigger... But we all have muscles, right? And guess what? The human body, if you've ever taken anatomy or studied anatomy, or if you've ever known anybody that studied anatomy, if you've ever had an anatomy, then you might know that we all basically have the same basic muscular structure, okay? We all have the same number of bones and whatnot, but our basic muscular structure is basically that the system is the same. So why don't we all look the same? Because they didn't develop the same way. Sometimes through our work or through our play or through training or whatever, some of us will develop bigger muscles in certain areas, okay? If I lift a lot of weights with my upper body is probably going to get what? Bigger. If I do a lot of running, my legs, they're strong, going to be stronger. They may be faster. We develop things differently through our work, through our play, our habits. They've caused our muscles to be used in different ways. The more you exercise your muscles, the stronger and bigger they get. Can y'all see where I'm going with this? The more you exercise your faith, the bigger and stronger it gets. Now, some even go so far to want huge and gigantic muscles, and they want it right now. They don't have to work for it. So they'll do things and they'll cheat. They'll do things like steroids and whatnot. And you know what you get when you do that? You get big muscles, but they're really for looks only. They're fake. Many times we treat our faith the same way. Sometimes we want to look like we have big faith. And so we'll talk big. We'll quote some scripture. We'll say somebody, oh, bless you, my child, I'll pray for you. And we'll use churchy type words or something like that, trying to make somebody think we've got a bigger faith than what we've really got. Don't be jumped up and hyped up on steroid faith. It comes with hard work. It comes with a regularity to your exercise. It comes from a specific plan of training to develop and strengthen your faith. It doesn't just happen haphazardly. We have to soak our shield. We have to anoint our faith. We have to protect our faith. Listen, why do we have to protect our faith? Because it's your faith that ends up protecting you. Protect your faith. Anoint your faith. Increase your faith. Make it stronger, because this very faith is what's going to protect you against the attacks of the old devil. And we've talked about it. I don't know how to say it any more than to make you believe that's real stuff. The old devil is really after you. Matter of fact, if you sit there and you think, well, I haven't noticed that, I don't think he's really after me, then the next question would be, why not? Is there a reason to be after you, or are you already on his side? Sure got quiet in here after that one. But it's a serious question we need to ask. If I'm not under the attack of the devil, why is that? Am I on his side of the line? Am I walking with him? Because the truth is, the farther we are from him, the closer we are to God, the more he's going to attack us. First John chapter 2, verse 27 says this: as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you all about things, about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, not steroid-type faith, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Remain in him. That's a choice that you and I make. Remain in him. Keep the faith up. Keep it anointed. Keep it strong. Keep it a formidable force against the attacks of the devil. Stay in him. Stay in your faith. If you notice, you've seen me when I pick this shield up every once in a while. I don't just hold it, right? Because it's kind of hard if I was just trying to do it. You have to strap it on. There's a strap on the back, and this is the way their shields were built, very similar to this. You would actually stick an arm through there and then grab the handle. Now it's strapped on. I am inside of the shield. That's what we must do. We must get inside of the faith. Very much like we've talked about the other pieces of armor. We've got to be inside the belt of truth. We've got to be inside the breastplate of righteousness. We've got to be inside the gospel shoes. The faith is no different. We've got to be inside of our faith. The Spirit of God lives within you. And if you will activate the anointing through the Word of God, through prayer, through testimony, it will allow you to understand things that you've never understood before. God will reveal things to you. He will allow you to grow in your faith. How do we activate our faith? A great question. I'm glad you asked. How do we activate our faith? Again, I'm going to start with our testimony. Our testimony. Don't back down from sharing what Jesus has done in your life. The problem is, and this is a real problem, many of the people who call themselves Christians have no testimony. They have no testimony because they have nothing to tell. Many people who call themselves a Christian don't have a testimony because Christ has never really been anything in their life. Many people who call themselves Christians don't have a testimony because they've never submitted themselves fully to the power of the Holy Spirit that causes us to change from the inside out. And if you'll notice very carefully, and I'm going to be very blunt with you this morning, I didn't say that Christians who don't have a testimony. I said those who call themselves Christians that don't have a testimony. If you don't have a testimony, there must be a reason why. If Jesus Christ if you've accepted him and you've called him your Lord and your Savior, then you have a story to tell. Paul writes that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. If you've not been transformed, then there has been no transforming agent applied to your life. And you need to get that straight. If that's you today, oh friend, put the steroids away. Put the fake stuff away. Get real with God and say, God, I don't even know what's going on, but I need something to be real in my life. I want the transforming power of the Holy Spirit made manifest in my life. I want it to be evident. I want to be inside of that faith. I want to have the protection because I recognize I'm in a warfare. I'm in a spiritual battle, and I need the protection. If that's you today, don't walk out of here half-dressed. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11 says this, speaking of our testimony. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, the accusers, he who stands before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's power. There's power in your testimony. The devil has been defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's power there. There's power in our testimony. If Christ has changed your life, then tell it. And if he has not, why not? Your testimony increases your faith. Another thing that increases our faith is alertness. Alertness. You have to be alert to the battle around you. You have to smell the smoke of those flaming arrows that are headed your way. Last night, or a day or two ago, Rebecca and I were riding around in the golf cart in the neighborhood, and I smelled something. I thought, what is that? That smells like smoke, but I can't see the smoke. I can't find the smoke. We went all the way around. Couldn't find where the smoke was coming from, but I could certainly smell it. Matter of fact, she said, well, is it a barbecue-type smoke? I didn't say that, but I was thinking, it's not barbecue. She said, maybe somebody's burning brush or something. I said, it's not that, because there's a certain smell to it. It's almost like, it's not as bad as trash, but it's something that there's a lot of stuff like what I recognize when I go by a house fire. It was that kind of smell. It's very distinct. We have to be that alert to the attacks around us that we smell the smoke. Have you ever got that weird sense that something's just not right? Maybe the hair on the back of your neck stood up and you're going like, ooh, something. Give me the heebie-jeebies, right? Something's going on here. I don't know what it is, but something just does not feel right. That's that alertness. Listen to me. That's that alertness that we must have. And when you find yourself in that moment, you stop and pray. Stop and pray. Because what does the Bible tell us that we're fighting against? Against flesh and blood? No. Against spiritual forces. When you smell that stuff out, you stop and you pray. You put on that shield. You lift it up high. If you've got it and you've been toting it around and you've just been walking lackadaisically because there's not been much battle going on, you smell that stuff, you better put that shield up. You don't know what's coming, but something's headed your way. You pull that stuff up. Be alert. Lift up your shield of faith. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. And then James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's power in that. There's power in that. Be alert. You don't recognize it unless you're alert. Be alert for those who would have you compromise your faith. For those that would have you, that would say, did God really say? What was the very first temptation in the Bible? Adam and Eve were in the garden, right? The devil came up to Eve and said, now, did God really say not to eat from this tree? Did he really say? Did God really say that the only way to Jesus, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ? Did he really say that? Or is there another way? Surely there's another way. God is love. God is God of love. He doesn't want anybody to die. And that's true. The Bible says that. God desires that no man should perish, but all should come, right, to salvation through who? There it is. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. How many men come to the Father outside of me? None. No man comes to the Father, and that means women too. Nobody comes to God outside of Jesus Christ. The Word of God says it. By faith, I receive it. Have the belt of truth wrapped around you. How about this one? Did God really say you have to be good all the time? Did God really say you can't do this? Did God really say that one time's not going to hurt? Right? Come on. Does God really expect you to be good? Does God really expect you to be faithful? Does God really expect you to pay tax on that thing that nobody's going to question? Does God... He does. Absolutely he does. Don't you be tricked up by that lie. You smell that out. You smell that smoke on that lie. It has sulfur. It smells like sulfur because it comes straight from the pit of hell. You smell that smoke. You lift up that shield of faith and say, get you behind me, Satan. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. You lift up that shield of faith. Protect yourself. There's a war going on. There's a war going on. Have the belt of truth wrapped around you. Defend against anything that doesn't line up with that truth. Number three, you've got to live on purpose. You will either live by default or you'll live by design. You'll either live your life by chance and you'll take it as it comes, whatever. I'll just take it day by day, wake up tomorrow and see what comes. You'll either live by chance, you'll either live by default, or you'll live by design. That means you'll plan, you'll make preparations, you'll make commitments, you'll make a strategy, you'll plan, you'll be ready, you'll have the gospel shoes on, you'll pre-decide. I did a sermon here a while back and I made a new word up. You will pre-side. That means you decide beforehand. That means you decide, I'm not going to have sex until I'm married with my wife or my husband. You pre-decide. That way when you get in that situation and it's dark and there's no, the music is right and the candle, whatever, that you've already decided, I'm not going there. You pre-side that when that situation comes up about, what, do I pay this tax or do I not pay the tax? I can get by without it. I can fudge a little bit because I really need to use that tax money to buy my boat or whatever it is. You have to pre-side that when those questions come, I've already made up my mind. I'm going to stand in the truth. I'm going to buckle the belt of truth around me, and I'm going to stand in that truth. You have to pre-decide. And tell you what, if you don't pre-decide when that moment comes, you're sunk. You're sunk because he is crafty. And he will dress it up and put a pretty bow on it, make it look so good. Doesn't he do that? We've got to pre-decide. We've got to live on purpose. When you're in the heat of the moment, it's too late. You've got to be serious. You've got to be intentional. Faith, this building our faith, this increasing our faith, this anointing our faith, this activating our faith, it is a process. What I mean by that is this. First of all, you have to have knowledge. Right? You have to have knowledge. Let's just say an example. If there was a chair, I would first have to know that there's a chair there before I sat down, right? You've seen the story, the things where somebody goes to sit down, somebody jerks the chair out from under, but they fall on the floor and everybody laughs and so forth. First of all, before you even move, you have to know there's a chair there, right? Then there is the acceptance. There's the belief. I see there's a chair there. Will it hold me? How many of y'all have ever done that? I have. Boy. How many of you have ever underestimated I won't even get there. Because I've done that too. And I've ended up on the floor, but I see there's a chair. Okay, I have knowledge that there's a chair. I believe that there's a chair there. I believe that the chair will hold me. How much good is that chair doing me right now? Not until I activate my faith and I take action and place myself in that chair does the chair begin to do me any good. I believe that in our faith, those three things are very important. We talk about Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers. That knowledge is important. It is so important. And most of us have heard that. And we understand that, yes. And I even believe it. I'll even go to the next step. And I assent to it. I accept it. I believe that is true. Jesus Christ came because I'm a sinner. And I believe in that, yes. And I that's true. I understand that. But that's still not enough. Because we haven't taken action with that knowledge and with that belief. We haven't taken action and actually trusted that and put ourselves inside of that. That's where our faith comes in. That's where faith comes in. When you take the Word of God, it becomes knowledge in your head. Then you take that knowledge and you say, I have a choice. Do I believe that is true or do I not believe that is true? You take that knowledge, you say, yes, I believe that is true. What the Word of God says concerning Jesus Christ, concerning everything, I believe it as true. Now I'm a Christian. Hold on a minute. How's the saying? hold up, wait a minute, got to put a little trust in it. Because that's where it comes in. I know it, and I believe it to be true, but if I don't place myself in that truth, I'm not there. That's the problem where many of us find ourselves. When I say us, I'm talking about people that call themselves Christians all over the world. A lot of so-called Christians have said, yes, I believe the Bible. I know the Bible. I've read some parts of it. I know John 3:16 by heart, and I believe that that's true. But they've never applied that to their life. They've never trusted that. They've never stepped inside of that truth. That's where faith is. That is where faith comes alive. Where we rely on faith. Read one verse to you real quick. James chapter 2, verse 19. Verse 18 says, someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Yes, I believe there's a chair. I believe it'll hold me. Fair enough. No, I'll show you my faith by what I do. I will place myself in the chair. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. You believe there's God? Absolutely, I believe there's God. That makes me a Christian. Hang on and wait a minute. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. They shiver in their boots. There's something more than just a belief. There's a trust. There's an action involved where we place ourselves in that belief. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Some know and believe, but they don't trust. We are saved by grace through faith. God's grace saves us, but He saves us through faith, by knowing, by accepting, and by trusting. That action part is required of you and I. That's the kind of faith that saves. The faith activates the grace. Bow with me if you would. And maybe we just need to ask God some questions. Maybe we need to say some things to God right here in this time, in this moment. If you'll pray with me, just say, God, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be bold for you. I'm going to share my testimony. I'm going to share my faith. I'm going to lift up my faith. I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to protect my family. I'm going to protect my home. I'm going to protect my marriage. I'm going to protect my children. I'm going to protect my vision, my dreams. I'm going to protect my eyes. I'm going to protect my ears. I'm going to remain alert for everything that's not the truth. I'm going to live on purpose. God, help me design my purpose to be in line with your purpose for me. God has called us to act. Yes, He's called us to have knowledge. He's called us to believe in the truth. But as we've said time and time and time again through this series, just knowing it and having it doesn't make it effective in my life until I put it on, until I activate it, until I trust it, until I step inside of the armor. The truth. I must be in the truth. I must be in the righteousness of God. I must be in His peace so that my feet are shod with the readiness that comes from that peace. And I must lift up the shield of faith. The shield of faith has been anointed with study in God's Word, with prayer, with testimony, a dedication to the battle that I'm in. And friend, I'll just tell you very plain and simple. If you're not there today, oh, get there. Get there. This is serious business. If you're here this morning and you've got some questions and you're thinking, well, I'm having a hard time taking all this in, I'd be glad to sit down with you and just kind of walk you through some scripture. There are other people in this room that would be glad to walk you through some scripture. Maybe you just say, I just need you to pray with me. I'll be glad to pray with you. There are other people that are willing and ready to pray with you here this very morning. To ask God to reveal to you though that which is required for us to increase our faith, to get bold, to receive salvation that only comes through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing this song. And really what this is doing, it's just giving some time for some people to respond. You know what that's called? That's that trusting part. That's that part where we know the chair is there, we believe the chair exists and that it'll hold me. Now I'm going to activate my faith and I'm going to make a move. This is your chance to make a move. There's nothing special or specifically magical or anything about this spot right here or this altar right here. But I will tell you something. When you move and you activate your faith, God responds to that. He does. Let me challenge you. Activate your faith today. Anoint your faith. Protect your faith because it will what? It will protect you. We're going to sing a song. You respond as the Spirit leads. If you've heard the Spirit this morning, I told you you need to be alert against those flaming arrows, the smell, the smoke. You also need to be alert and listen for the voice of God. And if He's spoken to you this morning, act on that. Trust it. It's good. You respond as we sing.